of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Out of the miry bog,
and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure.
He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God.
Many will see and hear, and put their trust in the Lord.
Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust,
who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie.
You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you.
I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than you can be told.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is from the first book of Samuel, the third chapter. The young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There were no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well.
O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You search out my path and my lying down,
and are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before a word is on my tongue,
behold, O Lord, you
hem me in behind and before,
and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
It is high, I cannot attain it.
Where shall I go from your spirit?
Or where shall I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there.
If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning
and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea,
even there your hand shall hold me,
and your right hand shall hold me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Wonderful are your works.
My soul knows it very well.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 6th chapter. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 1st chapter. Next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is from the end of the Gospel reading today. Jesus says to Nathanael, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Amen, amen, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is our text. Last Sunday, our snowy Sunday, we celebrated the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. Following his baptism, Jesus begins his public ministry, and one of the first things that he does is that he calls and gathers disciples to him. We heard about that today. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We've found him." We found him. Him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets spoke and wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. What do you think about that, Nathanael? Philip says that they finally found the Messiah, the one that they've been waiting for, and it is Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael is sure surprised, real surprised, but not in a good way. Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, from Nazareth? You've got to be kidding me. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Think about it. That's his response to hearing that all of God's promises are being fulfilled in Jesus. Not exactly a ringing endorsement, is it? In fact, you can feel underneath the cynicism, the skepticism, the negativity that Nathanael has toward Jesus. I mean, his mind starts racing. Philip, surely Philip is mistaken, because it just doesn't make any sense. It cannot be. He doesn't trust what his friend tells him, and he thinks he knows better. As if Nathanael were to say, "Philip, I'm so sorry to burst your bubble, but you're really off your rocker this time. The Messiah cannot be from insignificant, nothing Nazareth. Everyone knows that. God wouldn't work that way. He wouldn't work the Nazareth way. That's beneath him." Because you know, Nathanael has got God all figured out. He's got God pegged. And his God will have nothing, absolutely nothing to do with Nazareth. With a response like that, we might want to say and wonder if anything good can come out of Nathanael. But Nathanael's not alone. At times, we could be his twin, quick to doubt, quick to second guess, quick to distrust, quick to go negative. For some of us, that's how we naturally interact with other people, even those closest to us. We start with questions meant to pick apart what's been said, comments meant to show how much we know. Maybe we're not mean about it. Maybe we don't intend to be spiteful. But it's just that I know best. Things should be done my way. At least I need to get my 2 cents in to assert my questions and raise my concerns to make sure that I'm heard. Because what I think and have to say is clearly more important than what others think and have to say. Of course, we would never say that. But often that's what we communicate. But it goes even deeper than that. We even think that we've got God figured out. We think we know how he should work, what he should want, what we ought to expect from him. And if something goes wrong with what we expect from God, if there's a death or an illness or a crisis of some kind, then something's got to be off, and it's got to be off with God. He's the one to blame. Why, the God I know, he wouldn't work that way. He wouldn't let that happen. He wouldn't tell us not to do that. So God is only allowed to work in ways that make sense to me. Interesting. Of course that's the case, because I know what's best. I've got a certain view of how God should be, and I'll make him conform to it. That's our fallen, our stunted imagination at work, imagining a God for myself, a God who suits me, who measures up to my reason and desires, a God who certainly couldn't come out of Nazareth. I would say this is also the air that we breathe and the water we swim in. It's a little bit of the consumer culture at work in religion. We, and I mean we collectively, not just as a church, but as a society, we treat God like a fast food item. I'll have him my way. To such doubts and distrust, yours, Nathaniel's, the world's, Philip says the only thing he can: come and see. Come and see this Jesus of Nazareth. It's such a simple invitation and so beautiful. Like Nathaniel, we've often created a God to suit ourselves. We've made a God in our own image. But Philip invites us to see God as he really and truly is. And his words are just that, an invitation, not an argument, not an explanation. He doesn't offer a slam dunk philosophical proof, only the words, come and see. It's an invitation for us to see this Jesus at work, and it's also a way for us to invite others. I know sometimes we're hesitant to share our faith with others. What if they ask me a question that I don't have the answer to? What if I stumble over my words? What if I don't know what to say? You know, sometimes the best witness is just to let Jesus speak for himself, to let him be seen and heard. You don't need all the answers. You don't have to have fancy sounding words. Just be a Philip to some skeptical, negative Nathaniel this week. Invite that friend or that family member to come and see Jesus with you. And when you say that, where will you bring them? You'll bring them here. Because this is where we come and see Jesus, in his holy word and his holy sacrament. And the amazing thing is that even after blowing off Jesus of Nazareth, Nathanael accepts the invitation. Why not come and see? It can't hurt. And so here comes Nathanael, and Jesus sees him coming toward him and says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." An upright Israelite. And Nathanael overhears it and says, "How do you know me?" Without any exchange of greetings, without any introduction, never having met before, Jesus knows Nathanael. And Nathanael knows it. Jesus knows Nathanael's hopes for the Messiah. He knows what Nathanael thinks of Nazareth. As Jesus explains, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." When it was just Nathanael and the fig tree, Jesus sees him. That fig tree is interesting. We might wonder, what does the fig tree have to do with anything? Well, in the Old Testament, there are statements about how when the people are at peace, dwelling in God's kingdom the way God would have it, that each man will live under his own vine and under his own fig tree. They will study the scriptures, the Torah, there. Or perhaps we can go in another direction. Was Nathanael, like Adam and Eve, sewing together the fig leaves to cover himself? Either way, Jesus knows. He knows Nathanael. He doesn't need binoculars or satellite pictures or hidden cameras. Who is it that can see all things? Who is it that knows someone inside and out, top to bottom? Only God sees like that. So here's this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who is a true man. He looks like a man, looks like you and me, but he sees like God. As the psalmist says of him, O Lord, you have searched me, and you have known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. I wonder if Nathanael had that psalm in mind when Jesus revealed that he knew him like that. Jesus sees all and he knows all, which means that something good can and has come out of Nazareth. God has come out of Nazareth. God for Nathanael and God for you and me. And now his eyes are open. You, Jesus, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. What do we learn from Nathanael? Two things I'd like to highlight. The first one is that we don't know and make sense out of God by our own reason and strength. But rather, God is the one who knows us and makes sense out of us. Nathanael thought he had it all figured out. God couldn't come from Nazareth until God did come from Nazareth. The God who knew Nathanael better than he knew himself. He discerns my thoughts. He searches out all my ways. He sees me wherever I am, under the fig tree, studying his word or sewing together the fig leaves, at the kitchen table, in my study. Even before a word is on my tongue, the Lord knows it altogether. I can't escape him. And why would I want to? I can't control him. And why would I want to? And neither can you. You know, a person can run from church, and there are people who do that. A person can avoid other Christians, and there are people who do that as well. But no one can hide from God. Secondly, it's not up to us to decide how God can or cannot be. It is not up to us to decide what is appropriate or not appropriate for God. I don't have him figured out. The only thing for me is to receive him as he makes himself known to me. To know God intimately, inside and out, all about him, to have him figured out, that is too high for me, too wonderful for me. I cannot attain it. I can't cut God down to size. I can't force his word into a shape that suits me. I can only receive him as he is. And yet God does make himself known to us. He makes himself known to us so that he can be seen and heard and received and believed and loved and known. He comes in the flesh of Jesus of Nazareth. And he comes for you. But that's hardly the end of the story. Nathanael witnessed a great thing in the revelation of Jesus' divine knowledge and his person, and yet Jesus says to him, "Do you believe? Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, you will see greater things than these." And then he goes on. Do you remember from Scripture the story of Jacob's dream from Genesis? With the ladder that extends from earth up into heaven, the angels are going up and down this ladder. Do you remember that account? Amen, amen, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The good news isn't just that God knows Nathanael or me or you. If all God knew of us were our doubts and our distrust, our skepticism and our false gods, what good would that be? The good news is that in the face of such sinful skepticism and cynicism, Jesus Christ has opened heaven to us. The one who knows us, who knows all of our dirt and all of our secrets, and yet he offers himself as the ladder between heaven and earth. What greater things will Nathanael see? He will see Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, on his throne, crucified for us and for our salvation. He will see, through the death of Jesus Christ, heaven itself opened to him. He will see the one who had no deceit in his mouth, who was true in all that he said and did in giving himself for us. Truly, it is a greater thing to see that God has died for me, that he has done this willingly and freely for me, a sinner, and to see and hear and taste that forgiveness, that life and salvation that Jesus won on the cross, delivered to me here and now. Last week, we heard about the baptism of Jesus. Again, the words, "the heavens were opened," appeared, the heavens being torn open, the Father saying of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son." Heaven is open, and heaven remains open. And God speaks to each and every one of us as though we are his beloved ones, because we are baptized into Christ Jesus. All your sins washed away, washed onto Jesus through baptism, and you are clean. Indeed, you are more than clean. St. Paul tells us you are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body, the body that he created and the body that he redeemed and has given to you for life in this world. And you're told that the angels of God ascend and descend on the Son of Man, because the God who was in heaven is now the God who dwells on earth in Jesus Christ. When have we seen the angels come down? But at the announcement of Jesus' birth, when God is in the manger. When have we seen the angels come down? But at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when the tomb is empty, to tell the witnesses that he is not there because he is risen, just as he said. Where are the angels? But here today, to offer their worship and praise to the flesh and blood God who dwells in our midst, the God who is on the altar, who is here by his own word and promises, Jesus Christ, not just part of him, but all of him. "This is my body, this is my blood." And we take him at his word. All of heaven open to us, all of heaven joined with us in bowing before Jesus, in singing, "Holy, holy, holy." Dear friends, it's here, here and now, that we see the greater things promised by Jesus to Nathanael. What do you see? You see your sins washed away, taken away, forgiven. You see life and salvation placed into your very mouth. These holy and precious gifts, with your holy and precious Jesus giving you his holiness today. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of water or bread or wine or words spoken from a pulpit? Indeed, they can. Jesus, the Messiah, can and does come. And you have come. And now you see. Truly, Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. He is the King of Israel. He is your Savior. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Thank you.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
We continue with the prayer of the church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Pour confidence in the Lord's truth, that we may not fear deceit or opposition, but sing and proclaim his wondrous deeds in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, that as God called Samuel, Philip, and Nathanael into his service, so he would be pleased now to call men into his ministry. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For delight in the Holy Scriptures, that by their light we may see and follow Jesus, the Son of God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Christian households, especially for fathers, mothers, and children, including expectant mothers Stephanie and Shayla, that they may serve eagerly according to their station to the honor of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all rulers and leaders, especially our president, our governor, together with all legislators and judges, that in saving faith they may ascribe to God the glory due his name and govern their people wisely, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who stand in need of our prayers, especially for Steve Carroll's father, Emily Murphy, Rob Jackson, Gail Smith and her family as they mourn, as well as Marguerite, Rose, Ed, Kay, Nancy, Rosemarie, Audrey, Aaron Kate, Nancy Jane, Alicia, Nancy, Ted, Martha, Gwen, Rick, Michelle, Stan, Luann, Amanda, John, and Hattie, that God would bring healing, comfort, strength, patience, and certainty to every need. And in thanksgiving for God's constant watch and merciful kindness, that in every sorrow and every joy, God would keep our eyes fixed on the greater marvel of his kindness in Christ Jesus, by whose grace and forgiveness alone we receive every blessing. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who commune this day, that the gift of the Holy Spirit would be renewed in us, working true contrition to lament and abandon our sins, and so come in confident faith to eat Christ's body and drink his blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Holy Lord, mighty God, you have shown us the face of your mercy in your Son, through whom all nations may find unity and life. Hear the prayers of your people, and grant what is needful to us and those for whom we pray, that trusting in your mercy, our hearts may find perfect peace and rest. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him,
Being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 139, starting at the 11th verse. Lord, you have searched me and know me. If I say, surely the darkness shall come over me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark for you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inner parts. You kneaded them together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my uniform substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there is none of them. How precious you are in your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they would be more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, you have searched me and know me.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.